After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, guys, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly on to you. I haven't skipped a beat using Mint Mobile services. I have a great service even when I'm traveling for over less than 70% of what I was paying before. Listen to Uncle Chael and say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Chael. That's mintmobile.com/Chael. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Chael. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. UFC 301 has come and gone, and I am already looking ahead to some potential fights that we might see in the coming months. Do John Jones and Tom Aspinall already have a deal in place? I'm going to get to that. Plus, Charles Oliveira wants to be the backup fighter for Chandler versus McGregor. Wow, I'd like to too, Charles. Can't wait to hear your ideas on that. Another great show begins right now, everybody, and I want to start with this. I like Fighter of the Night. And we don't do that. We do Fight of the Night. And the reason I bring that to you, let me give you a great example, which would be UFC 300. The single best performance, the single athlete that rose to the occasion, exceeded expectations, and did it in an absolute dominant fashion was Kayla Harrison. But there was no bonus there. There was not even any talk after that fight. I mean, even Amanda Nunes tried to get a rumbling going. It died in its tracks just because it was surrounded by other great fights. And it sucked all the air out of the room. And I tell you that because in this sport, we don't do great fighter. We do great fight. So regardless of how well you performed, to be recognized by that litmus test, your opponent needs to be very equal in form. And why do I tell you that? Well, because I have Steve Ursick. That's why. For fighter of the night, I didn't see the bonuses tonight. I'm quite sure won fight of the night, but fighter, even in defeat, and the great Roy Pittman told anybody that would listen, your biggest victory will come in defeat. And Pantoja is not going anywhere. He's awesome. Pantoja's awesome. And he looked awesome tonight. I put Pantoja in the category only of GSP and Khabib. There has never been anybody that could weaponize pace aside from GSP and Khabib and tell Pantoja, and I'm not sure he doesn't do it better. I'm not sure he doesn't scramble better than Demetrius Johnson. He's not as fast as Demetrius. But for that straight-on scramble, of which is the ultimate cardio blast, man, he was awesome. He was awesome. And with all of that said, I believe Usyk is the fighter of the night. How do I get to that conclusion? Well, first off, Pantoja was ranked number one as champion. He will remain number one as champion. Usyk is ranked number 10. He could go as high as number two. Now, believe me, they won't do it, but they won't do it because they don't have the balls to do it in the rankings room. They'll say, well, you know, the politics are this. Just, you know, we want the guy ranked number two that can get the fight because we got to try to build a fight. All things that they are not supposed to do. Okay, sorry, I'm not going to give it to a guy that just had the fight because they're not going to rematch it. So just for that reason alone, they won't put him there. But if you go to him and you say, all right, well, show me a 25-pounder that you believe that can beat Usyk that isn't named Pantoja, they also won't be able to do that. And I only say that not just to give the rankings room a hard time because they lack knowledge and integrity. I do that because that's how high Usyk could go. And even though the reality is he's going to come in number six or even number five, he's still going to move up 4 to 5 spots. And I don't think there's anyone else. First off, there's no one else on the card that's going to do that. So that's good. I come to the conclusion that he had the best performance. But I don't know if you could find anybody in history that in defeat did that. That in defeat could and should go all the way to number two. That we just found out we found the two best guys and we put them in a contest with each other. And I just want to say that because Usyk did such a good job. One thing about Pantoja, as good as his scrambling is, and you know, when it comes to his striking, it'll do. It'll do against anyone in the world, but it'll do. It doesn't matter if you put him in there with a guy that's not that great at striking or you put him there with a really good striker. He can protect himself. He can hold his own. He's not going to knock them out or finish them, but they're not going to knock him out or finish him. His great strengths come with the grappling. But make sure you do understand, because there's been a big misconception in this sport that's starting to go away. It's changed about 6 years ago. And Pantoja represents one of the generation that understands the change. But grappling and wrestling are not the same thing. You do not grapple until the wrestling is done. You will never grapple, not 1 second, until the wrestling is done. The wrestling is the part that gets you into the range to grapple. And guys go to grappling practice. They do it for years and years, all the way to world title fights, through careers. They never wrestle one time. They'll go start on their knee. Hey, let's get on our knees and start. Hey, you just lay on your back, and then we'll start. And it's a really good workout, and it's really ineffective for the sport of MMA where it is today. And I bring that to you because Pantoja dealt with that. I thought Usyk was the better wrestler. On paper, he is. Experience why he is. He's not a better grappler. Usyk is a better wrestler. And he was not the better MMA wrestler tonight. Usyk went for one takedown where he really went for it, and he got it. So I think if there's anything Usyk could do, you know, he might look back at that. Think, man, I should have gone for a couple of more. But Usyk walked him down. He marched him down. He put that pace on him. Pantoja held up. Pantoja is the best. I am not attempting to take away from him, but Pantoja at number one and remaining at number one versus Usyk at number 10, who should go to number two. Man, I had him even in defeat. It's the performance of the night. Assimilation. And I say to you, Anthony Smith, what are you going to say back to me? You got to go quick. You just go right from the top of your head. What comes? Nebraska? Probably. Yeah. Mark Montoya, his team that he's loyal and proud of? Probably. If you know him personal, it would be the four girls and the beautiful wife. But if you ever tried to tell the Anthony Smith story, and you put anything at number one, including Nebraska, you put anything at number one other than believing himself when nobody else did, you've got the story wrong. And you can get a jerk to put that in a book, sell it for $20 on Amazon about confidence and self-belief. It's a nice thing to say, and I'm sure it was said to you. I'm sure teachers, parents, coaches, if you had them, said it to you. And I'm sure you take it and you pass it on to your other young ones, thinking that everybody else around you had it, but knowing your secret inside, which is that you did not. And it's not your secret inside. It's everybody's secret inside because nobody has it. How in the hell are you going to believe in yourself when no one else does? And it's been the story of Anthony's career from Jump Street. When, first time I ever saw Anthony Smith, he was a guy in the room at the Rain Training Center. He kept to himself. He seemed like a very pleasant guy. Had plenty of partners wanted to work out with him, put in plenty of sweat, but that was it. When I find out that he signed to the UFC, I can't remember his record, guys, but it was either 12-6 or it was 14-8. I mean, he had more losses than his opponent tonight even had fights, including his amateur career. How's he believe in himself? How's he get himself there? Anthony is 35 years old, taking on a guy 10 years younger in the guy's hometown who is completely unblemished on the televised portion of the pay-per-view. You do not have to be Kreskin to know how this story is supposed to go. And despite my biasness towards Anthony, it doesn't mean that I'm also not aware how it's supposed to go. But Anthony was doing interviews leading up to it, and it wasn't fake. It wasn't an act. And he was just saying, look, there's levels to this. I've been at this guy's level where you're really good shape and you're tough and you're strong. It's enough when you're beginning in the UFC. I'm in the top 10, title challenger. You got to also be good. And it was a very interesting statement by Anthony, because first off, it'll give you chills. I mean, that's a badass statement right there. Those are the words of a badass. I loved it when he said it, but it's not how it's going to go. And when you talk that way, what you do is you set yourself up for failure. And through Anthony's entire career, whether it was the days I saw him at the Rain Training Center when he thought he belonged with those guys, to the day that he actually gets in the UFC, it was like a 12-6 record. Man, you're not getting in the UFC with that. To the time that he was one head motion away from being world champion and defeating John Jones. Do you guys remember that? That is not an exaggeration by me. I don't know if he's aware of any of those things. To this day, I don't know that he knows you don't get signed in the UFC with a 12-6 record. To this day, I'm not sure that he's aware if he would have answered a question the referee asked the opposite of the way that he answered it, he would have been world champion. I'm not sure he knows. I don't think he got a fluke tonight. How? He won every aspect of the fight. He went out and out-punched the guy, he out-kicked the guy, and he out-grappled the guy, and he did it all within 2 minutes. But I don't think he knows. It's a very interesting thing, man. It's a blessing. Being naive is a blessing. What you don't know is a blessing. You cannot tell the Lionheart story without starting with self-belief. And it was, quite frankly, inspirational.
Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/ today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for the best in Western style. And by the way, you don't have to be into the Western look to grab a good-looking pair of boots. I recently got a pair of ostrich skin round-tip boots, and I wore them with my suit. These boots are so versatile that I can throw them on with a full head-to-toe suit. And Anthony Smith came right up to me, and he's asking me where I got them. Well, I told them the only place to get them, Tecovas. And they have a seasonal limited edition offering. It's right now, this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, accessory, and more. My wife just surprised me with the ostrich wallet and a belt for my birthday, in case you've seen me. I feel like I look pretty sharp in it. I truly do. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop for new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. Guys, I'm really into things that add more convenience to my life. It's even better when it also comes with safety in a high-quality package. I'm talking about my Eufy Video Lock. I'm still loving this thing. I love this thing so much that I'd like to invest in the company. I am so impressed with this product that I'm willing to back it. And if anyone out there knows how I can do it, please reach out. You gotta check it out for yourself. I'll probably do a quick social post, but for now, just search Eufy Video Lock. Do it online. It's a 3-in-1 smart lock, 2K camera with an audio and doorbell. It's easy to install. It has fingerprint recognition, so I don't even have to remember a code. I can control it all in an app, which again, the convenience is such a big plus for me. We are always on the go, and being able to monitor our home on the road is such a nice option. Not only that, I don't have to rush to the door if the doorbell rings. I can either open the door or ignore whoever's at the door by vetting them through the app. There is no monthly fees for security video storage. The battery is rechargeable, and each charge lasts about 4 months. This Eufy lock is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Search Eufy Video Lock online. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. All right, let's hear it, guys, right here. Let's hear it for the man, right there, Corey Sandhagen. Corey, he got big news. Sandhagen is going to take on Nurmagomedov. Now, that is a disaster of a matchup for Sandhagen and for Nurmagomedov. Like, that is a really, really hard night out. And one thing that they need to do, and I think that the whole world's aligning for them to do it, is just to make sure that that's a number one contenders match. Like, that's one of those fights. Nobody wants to fight Nurmagomedov. Nobody wants to fight Sandhagen. They're as high ranked as they can be, right? They get these beautiful undefeated records only to be surpassed by mine. They should get a little something for it. 135 pounds is wildly complicated. And I'm one of the guys helping to complicate it. And you want to know why? Because I like Jose Aldo for a world title fight. Yeah, and I got a big voice. And when I got, and I've got a big voice, I can't go around saying stupid things. I got to get them right. Now, I'm not demanding that Jose get the shot, and I'm not even suggesting for you, or at least from a prediction standpoint, that he is going to get the shot. I'm telling you, and I'll say it a second time, I like him for one. I like it. It kind of reminds me of one of my old mentors, Dan Henderson.
And Dan Henderson, you got to spot him a whole nother decade on Jose. He was 47 years old when he went into a rematch against Bisping for the championship of the world on his last fight of his contract. There's just things the UFC doesn't do. You are not going to get a feature match on your last bout of your contract. Period, in the end. And Dan was in a very unique situation. He'd already been everywhere. He'd already fought everywhere else. He was 47. They weren't going to run him out there three more times, which would put him until he was 49. It was one of these things. He'd already had a win over Bisping. A lot of you thought that he was going to win. I mean, I'm just sharing. Like, it wasn't because the UFC thought they knew the outcome. It was the first and only time ever they were going to let a guy walk with their strap. And now you come and look at Jose Aldo. He also does not have a UFC contract. Jose Aldo didn't take his gloves off and put him down. But he didn't really need to. He didn't have a contract, right? So it's one of those things. He's made it clear to all of us, whether he won on Saturday or not, he was going to keep competing. He was still going to go into Nova Vignau. He's still going to work with Andre Pettinaris. He's still going to go out there and throw them hands. How good did Jose look? How good did he look? Because, guys, you could give me examples of old dogs that came back and, wow, they surprised everybody. Not always win, but they went out and had a great performance, okay? Jose not only had a great performance, he won. He not only won, he won every part of that fight. He won the punching part and the kicking part. He won the conditioning and the walk him down part. He won the wrestling and he won the scrambling part. He won all three rounds. You do not find guys that come back later in life, okay? They love to say that power is the first thing. Power is the last thing we lose. Now, I'll tell you right now, there's no truth to that. Those are the words of a dum-dum. But a lot of people say it. It is an expression that is around. And I'll tell you what, the first thing you lose is your footwork, your speed. You lose your jaw. You guys see that, right? An older guy comes back, boom, and he falls down. Maybe Chuck Liddell, who I do not want to give a hard time to, but in Tito, with that punch, like, really, really light punch, and man, all the way asleep. So you understand, from a little bit of the scientific standpoint, your legs and how strong they are greatly affects the ability for you to take a shot and go down or not. So as you get a little bit older, it's not that the mass... It's not even that you're one rep max on a power clean. I apologize. On the squat rack would go down. It's when you can't train as hard, those legs become weaker. When you can't jump as many rounds of rope, when you can't float around that ring all by yourself, shadow boxing, floating 45 minutes, an hour, 20 minutes at a time. When you're not up getting anywhere from 3 to 7 miles in twice a week and getting 2 miles in every day a week that aren't those days of the week. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Those will make your legs weak. That'll affect your ability to take a shot. None of those things happened to Jose. How come? How come he was so strong? How come he was able to make 135 pounds after years of not making 135 pounds? Nobody gave him credit for that. Nobody gave any focus to the mere fact that he got back to 135. Talking about he's the greatest, he's the king, he's in the Hall of Fame. He is all of those things as a featherweight. This was down, and I never really realized what murderer's row he faced. Like, off the top of my head, I can close my eyes and picture some Jose fights. Even the ones that didn't go by, I'm picturing in there with Volkanovski. I'm picturing in there with Max Holloway. I'm picturing him in there with Peter Yang. All of a sudden, I'm realizing, my goodness. No, RDA has had the hardest schedule of anybody to ever do this sport. Boy, Jose's got to be right up there with him. He's got to be right up there on an easy day. They bring him into his home country to get him a standing O while wearing a crown. Oh, by the way, against the number 12 guy in the world. That was an easy day. By his schedule, this is remarkable. I don't think 135 pounds has done a wonderful job. When I look... we love the guy. We love Sandhagen over here, don't we? We sure as heck respect Umar Nurmagomedov, the family, and everything that they've done. But don't we? Truthfully, right? We're arguing that should be a number one contenders match, but we're the first. How come Umar hasn't said it? How come Corey hasn't said it? How come they haven't convinced the promotion to lock in on it? And while you're sitting there and telling me, oh, so, right, of course that's the number one contenders match and there'd be no way to hide. And if they ever do try to hide, that's just Sean O'Malley trying to get an easy fight. Really? You think you're going to pin that on Sean O'Malley, who's getting ready to fight Merab, who just got done fighting Cheeto, who in between called out Ilya Topuria? Really? You think you're going to pin the scared button on that guy? Good luck with that. Because while these two get ready for each other, and see, they'll make a mistake. The way you pick a fight and promote a fight is not the same thing. And if you've attended Bad Guy University, you've got a pretty good understanding for that. But our boy, right here, Sandhagen, and Nurmagomedov will make a mistake, which is, in the very limited media time that they're given as this fight comes, they will talk about each other. Okay, so as they're doing that, there's nothing building against O'Malley or Merab. In the meanwhile, O'Malley is going to use his Merab airtime to talk about Jose Aldo. And that is where you have a very different scenario. That is where all of a sudden Jose is being talked about. He does have the mandate. Talk about deserve it. Talk about beating awesome guys. No question. Nurmagomedov completely undefeated. It's got to be a pretty high ranking. You want, wow, undefeated, beating all the right guys. Wow, that's strong, right? Yeah, try that on. Opposite, a former world champion and current Hall of Famer. So, okay, don't get into paper with me here. Do not start getting into paper and start getting into stats opposite Jose. Although I realize it's a reach by me, but it's a reach that's very possible. But you need three people to make it happen. We need this guy. Sandhagen, talking about Nurmagomedov. We need Nurmagomedov, talking about Sandhagen. And we need Sean O'Malley to pick his next opponent. And if he wants it to be Aldo, all he's got to do is start talking about it. Has a date in place, but he's gonna have to wait for Dana. I assume what that means is for Dana to reveal the date, but it was left right there. I'm just giving you the exact words. John Jones, 3 weeks ago, had a face-to-face with Tom Aspinall. A little back and forth with Tom after that. John Jones, as of 36 hours ago, said that there is no way to deny, and he said that he has to beat Stipe first. And it's very relevant. John said, after I beat Stipe, I will be GOAT. And there is no way to deny that Alex Pereira versus me would be the biggest fight of all time. And John then laid out, not only would a GOAT be there, you would have Alex Pereira going for history. Which, by the way, if Alex Pereira succeeded, he then becomes the GOAT, which is a fascinating topic in and of itself. But hold on right there. I've chosen to give you guys three stories that I would normally break into their own. Where you got John Jones versus Stipe with an apparent date. That seems like big news. John Jones face-to-face with Aspinall. And even if it looks like that ship sailed, John Jones now discussing Pereira. Seems like all individual topics, but I had to put them together, and you want to know why? There is a constant here. And with John Jones, it can be tough. John Jones and getting information and getting and pulling those answers out of him can be tough. But there is a constant, no matter how much John jumped around. And that constant is, when I'm done with Stipe, I'm not done. I told you guys many times I was going to retire the night of Stipe. That was nothing more than marketing. I'm back. Ta-da! I mean, but that's what it is. If you're a John Jones fan, or you're a hater, but you think he's going to beat Stipe, imagine the haters. If you do not like John Jones and you think he's going to fight Stipe, where he's a sizable favorite, and then you think he's going to ride off into the sunset claiming GOAT status? You know how mad you would be? You know how bad you'd want him back? Get him back. Get him in there with anybody. anybody just to preserve the chance that he could get beat. And, I mean, look what he's doing. See, I can live with lots of John Jones and then trash him. John Jones-ism. And then John Jones, let's put him down. Let's kick him while he's there. I can live with it. But it's got to be within the truth. It's got to be with an accuracy. John Jones and scared, I'm out. I've got to stop you. I got to stop you right there. John Jones is very serious that he would do those fights. The talk 1 year ago, well, where were we? 1 year ago, I guess the talk was all around John because he had just gotten the jump on Surreal. Didn't take a punch, put him away in one round. In what should have been, and quite possibly was, John's worst performance of all time. John's first time in a new weight class after 3 years gone, then he took the fight on a little bit short notice and it was against the opponent that he wasn't planning for. That should have been John's worst performance. And maybe it was. He still won a world title and never got touched, never got kicked, never got punched, never got taken down in 4 minutes. How's that for amazing? I mean, how is that? How would you like to have that? How'd you like to be so good that on a bad day, you're still the best by a lot? Pretty cool. Fast forward a little bit. It's going to be Jones versus Stipe. Then hold it right there. It's going to remain. Now I'm getting deep into 2023, right? I'm getting into summer and I'm even getting out of the summer, approaching the fall. And the talk goes from not only will John not beat Stipe, but if he does, it doesn't matter because he's retiring anyway. Because, and he has to retire because he cannot possibly stick around to take on Sergey Pavlich. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's what you were saying. There was no talk of Aspinall. None. In fact, at this time last year, Tom was 0-1 in his last one. No one won in his last one. He was still out after the injury to Curtis Blaydes. He hadn't got that first one back. He was 1-1 when he went into his world title fight, just to remind you. So I'm just really reminding you that Tom was not in the talks, just in case you're one of the ones who go, oh, Chael, you are wrong. I actually was. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Not at this time last year. And just think of that. You know yourself well enough. You would have not have been talking about somebody that was 0-1 in his last one as the one to bring down John Jones. You did not. It was Sergey Pavlich, and when Sergey went down, everything turned, and it was as though John was just supposed to turn with it. And nobody would have talking about Pierre. And you want to know what's interesting? Nobody's still talking about Pierre. John Jones came out, and he proclaimed that if he and Pereira were to go at it for the heavyweight title, it would be the biggest fight of all time, and that nobody could deny that. That was an interesting claim. Like, John has never been one to do good business. He just has never got involved in the business side of the sport, in trying to help himself make a bunch of loot, in trying to help someone else bring in money. He just has never been part of it. He wants it. He likes it. He'll have his hand, but he will not actively participate in that. So it was an interesting claim by John. John said nobody could deny that that would be the biggest, most financially successful fight of all time. That was really interesting. I don't know if he's right. I don't know. And I never would. Until it was over, I would have a guess. My guess right now is no. My guess is people would look at Pierre and say, hey, you're just not big enough for heavyweight. Now, I do believe John versus Pereira could be the biggest fight of all time. I would need Pereira to go and do whatever it is he's got scheduled to do successfully. I would need John to handle the Stipe thing successfully. And I would need John to come down to 205 pounds and they would fight there. In that scenario of an actual bona fide hungry John, he was so hungry for fame, he left and went to heavyweight, cleaned them out. And he was so hungry for fame that there's a new guy. He's coming back to see him. And I could get that story. I could get that story put on SportsCenter. So, if you're a John Jones fan, you're having a great day today. But if you're just a fight fan in general, you're having a great day today. I mean, the fact that John Jones is willing to stay active, the fact that, which, by the way, Stipe Miocic. I mean, there's not very many ways to beat Stipe, but there's one way to sure as hell get beat up by Stipe, which is to overlook him. Ask Francis Ngannou. Ask Daniel Cormier. Ask Junior Dos Santos. Hey, man, is that a guy you can just overlook? And I'm starting to get the feel right now. People are thinking it was Stipe that was out. Or they're thinking that it was Stipe that's held this up. They're thinking that it's Stipe who had these injuries. Stipe has had one goal since he got out of the ring with Francis. And that was to put on good size. He wanted to put on good muscle because he thought he was getting back in there with Francis. The Stipe you're about to see is not the Stipe that you remember last. And if everybody wants to keep on ignoring him and keep putting the focus on John, I'll tell you one person that'll let you keep on doing that. Stipe. Charles Oliveira has come up with a list of demands. Charles Oliveira is willing, and you know, by the way, Charles has won me over. I see how great he is, just so we're clear. His last fight, I sat right cage side. I've never had more resistance from you. My own, you're my guys. You're not Charles's guys. You're my guys. And you've turned on me more for me not fully accepting the skills of Charles Oliveira. And I'll tell you what, I do now. I watched them closely. I could reach out and touch the cage. That's how close I was. But seeing that live like that, having no influence of announcers or anything else, just right there live as he took on Sakarin, a fight that he lost, I could still see the greatness. But I feel as though Charles can't do an interview without getting in his own way. And he has now put out an interview that he will be the backup fighter. He is willing to be the backup fighter for McGregor versus Chandler under these conditions. Now, I'm not going to tell you the terms and or conditions, but I've been very upset at Charles not wanting a world title fight. I've been very upset, and I've spoke to you guys to the fact that before Sakarian, Charles told us for the fourth time he was not going to fight Islam and did not even want to fight Islam, that if he gets a win over Sakarian at 300, he would like to use that bounce to take on Conor McGregor. I have told you that repeatedly. I told you before their alleged date on October 22nd of last year at Fight Island, that fight was not going to happen and that I had a source and that my source was Charles Oliveira. And I've said this so many times and so accurately that Charles Oliveira's trainer, Lima, who happens to be a crony of mine, came out and finally stuck it to me. Said, hell, chill, stick. He didn't like that I was saying these things. But I wasn't sharing an opinion. That's where he didn't have the right to be mad. I don't offer any opinion here. You might be able to guess what my opinion is, but I've never shared it. I've only told you facts. I've only told you quotes. So make sure you have that in mind. Because Charles Oliveira, who has already let the world know that he would do anything to be opposite Conor McGregor, he told us before 300, if he wins over Sakarian, he wants to use that power to fight Conor McGregor. Well, he lost at 300, and now he still might have the ability to fight Conor McGregor. Could you imagine? So now is not the time when anybody is going to listen to your list of demands. That was the problem with giving them. The entire problem of going first opposite leverage is you let it be known what it is you want. Which is exactly what leverage is. There is nothing else. If the other side, because you have a poker face, never knows what it is you want, they can never do this. So I'm only sharing it because the other side of those demands, I mean, the other side of those demands, and possibly Charles doesn't understand this part, okay? Who's going to be the backup fighter for Conor versus Chandler? So you really understand, really, really understand means who, in the event of we need, would replace Chandler. That's all that means. It's presented as we're going to save the card. We're going to save that fight. We're going to save that event. Well, considering it's about nothing, no, you're not. And considering it's 255-pounders that are fighting outside of their weight class, no, you're not. And considering there's no title, even one that we made up on the fly, no, you're not. If McGregor doesn't make the walk, neither does Chandler. That whole thing is now off. So we ask who's going to be the backup fighter. What we want to work with, we want to deal with, is somebody that deserves it, somebody that's earned it, somebody that would do it, somebody would count it, and somebody that wants it. And a guy coming off of a loss to possibly draw into his dream fight, as he's previously stated, at a weight class he won't have to diet for, that has a list of demands, simply is not the guy we're looking for. Campus, guys. I was at the Worldwide Leader right there, Bristol, Connecticut. In fact, I almost didn't get in. I did not have my security badge. So when I was telling the security guard, and he says, "What is your name?" And I say, "Chael Sonnen," and he has me pronounce it five different times. Chael, Chael Sonnen. S-O. We have to do the whole thing. We have to do the whole entire thing. So now, at some point, I'm in a hurry, and I gotta kind of get on with it, and I have to pull, you know, the Chael Sonnen show. What's Chael Sonnen show? Who's Chael Sonnen? Me. I'm Chael Sonnen. You Chael Sonnen? You got your own show? Yes. Brings it up. Wouldn't you know, there's a logoed picture, and the picture on that logo is not of me. So, we're back at square one. All right, forget it. Doesn't matter how I got through. I did get through, and I spent a whole weekend on campus. And Ryan Garcia, and the fact that he has a failed drug test, came up one time, and it came up on my third day on campus, and it came up by me, because I was asking the fellow hosts and talents, producers, directors, writers over there, why does nobody care? Why does absolutely nobody care? And that got a chuckle from people, but it didn't get a response. I never got an answer. And I am still wondering. I'm just wondering why nobody cares. Now, I've got to tell you, and I also had to tell them. I had to explain it to my cohorts, and, you know, they care about baseball and football and basketball and the draft and all of these different, the hockeys. Deep in season, so I'm a little out of my sorts, but I am explaining to them that this drug test announcement is unlike any drug test announcement that I've ever seen. VADA, who caught them. Nobody wants VADA to exist, but nobody can say those words. Like if Dr. Margaret Goodman called up an executive director and goes, "That Chael Sonnen's over there saying that you wish I didn't exist," that executive director would say, "Chael Sonnen is wrong and we are thrilled to have you." While thinking, of course we wish that you don't exist. Why would we want you to exist? And then look at what happened in this situation. The commission had a job, which is to catch somebody who's cheating. There's different ways of cheating, but none is higher than that of steroids. Steroids, in this order, make you bigger, faster, stronger. In that order. It's not like Adderall or cocaine or a number of other things that might rev you up to some degree. It's going to make you bigger, stronger, faster, in that order. Okay. The commission, who had the funding and who had the ability, failed to catch the steroid. VADA, who did not have authority sanctioning or funding, did catch the steroid. So just right away, you got this weird spot going on. Just right away. Now, we all have to pretend like, that's why we got you, baby. Hey, thrilled you're here. That's exactly why we brought you in. So we can work together. There was no work together. There was no work together. One person who had the failed, and another person caught it. Now, I don't say it to give anybody a hard time. I say that so that you can start to understand why you don't have a joint statement. Now, typically speaking, if anyone was to come out, okay, they would say, the New York State Athletic Commission hereby sanction and immediately suspends Ryan Garcia for a failed sample. He will have a commission hearing, and it will state the exact time, date, and even the address. We are still waiting on his B sample, of which, if it doesn't match the A sample, he will immediately be given license status back. Okay, but that's the way it would read, and it didn't here. Not only not read that way, I personally still have not heard anything from the sanctioning commission. Now, as of Saturday, when I'm having my talk on campus with my cohorts, it wasn't even out, and they looked it up. I still haven't heard anything from them, and I just want to share with you why. In fact, I didn't even get this news from Vada. I got it from Devin Haney. Devin Haney went to the world telling them that he got it from Vada. So then you go to Ryan, and Ryan confirms it, but more of like I don't know, but he didn't deny it type thing. So this is why we still have to live with this. But we still haven't heard from a governing body. So it's a really tangled web. And it's exactly why they wish Vada would go away. And I have a hard time with Vada. While their heart is in the right spot and their junk science is as good as anybody else's junk science, there's nothing good that can happen for you, the athlete. For you, the athlete, to volunteer on anything in life, for you to volunteer to potential jeopardy makes you a fool. And it attempts to make somebody, oh, I have nothing to hide. That's what you attempt. Why not just be a real person and say, of course I have things to hide. Of course I want privacy and secrets and left alone at any chance that I can. Like, fighters lack the rhetorical skill to know how to say, yes, I don't want you checking me more than you're already checking me. And when we find ourselves in this situation, Ryan Garcia ends up doing something called an Instagram Live, and he's doing it with Jake Paul. And Ryan tells Jake Paul, listen, if this is true, I will quit boxing forever. Now, Ryan actually takes the time to explain to us what his definition of truth is, which is if it is proven that it's true. Now, the problem for that is Ryan doesn't have an ability to prove that it's not. It will be misspoken from the beginning of time when you're given a commission hearing that is your day to come in and share your side to a disinterested third party. But that is not what happens, ever. There is not an arbitrator and there is not a judge. You can't even get to one. If you ever go read the stat, you can't even get to it until you exhaust all other options. I mean, I'm just sharing for you. You got a commission that says you did it. We're taking your license. You then will come in and have to convince the commission who's wrong here, of which the only other person is them. So they are then going to have to go, my gosh, you've got it right. We were wrong and we never should have brought you here. In the history of Earth, that has never happened. So for Garcia to say, I will retire, I get he doesn't mean these things. I get it. You take the word of a steroid cheat. What I'm saying is for him to use those words does help to illustrate his lack of understanding of the situation. Right, and most people are very naive, right? They come up through life and go, well, I have nothing to hide. Of course I will cooperate. Yes, officer, please come on in. Let me tell you everything. I have nothing to hide. The truth always comes out. Silly things. Silly, silly things like this. But many people believe them to be. You always believe them until you don't. I'm just sharing with you, in Ryan Garcia's situation, he's got one out. Now, he could prove a mistake within the test. Hard to do and expensive to do, but he could do it. And that could even be for who was in control of it. Chain of custody is the greatest way to break one of these things, but very unlikely to happen. When you hear about that B sample that's out there, never in the history of the world has the B sample not come back same as the A sample. That's not an exaggeration why you strong language like that. It comes back 100% of the time the same. So even though you think you might have that caveat, now you got one last Hail Mary, which is tainted substance. And when you have a dum-dum, right, those guys often do have somebody give it to them. When you're dealing with a guy that is so dumb, that is where you do have somebody in your entrusted circle that gets it to you. And ostertain, by the way, is one of those type substances. So Ryan could have had that slip to him, have absolutely no idea. That's true, but the person that gave it to him is going to have to be good enough at this to go to a tub or two of something else and taint it just a little bit, be able to get that to the testing agents. Now, before you think you're off the hook, Testing agents will then follow that tub of two or something all the way to the source. They will go into that store where you bought it from, and they will buy every single one of those on the shelf. And they will test them all. And if one of them comes back having dirty what you're dirty for, you will be cleared. And if it doesn't, then we know that the person that duped the dummy duped the local stuff too and didn't have a way to taint that at the store. I'm just sharing the story for you because there's none of you that follow that completely, and the one or two of you did know that I told that absolutely perfectly. Couldn't have been told any better, but it's that confusing of a thing. And therein lies the problem, which in lies a very big statement by Ryan Garcia. And nobody ever has come out claiming innocence and ended up looking good. Now, Garcia's already pulled a couple of things we've never seen, so I'm very open to looking and studying this, for sure. But it's a very uphill battle. And truth is not, if he can't prove that he didn't have, there's a number of ways that he could have had that in his substance and be innocent that have nothing to do with your team going against the unknown team of Bada, of which most of you, including Ryan Garcia, don't even know what Bada stands for. All right, everybody, that is it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to do something for me and for the program, there's actually something that can be done. Go leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or submit a rating on Spotify. Those are the two things, guys. I appreciate your tweets. You're not actually helping me. I appreciate it, but you're not helping me. I'm telling you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. We're going to get to so much more MMA news later in the week. We're going to do that on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Ah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.